sports, which is kind of ironic given who her dad was. I talked about this just before the break. Her dad was the great John Robertson, well-known, irascible TV and radio broadcaster, sports writer. He covered the Expos. He covered the Blue Jays in the 70s and 80s. I can still picture him and seeing him on TV. He did some work, actually, earlier in his career for the Saskatchewan Roughriders when he worked with the Regina Leader Post. In this book that Patricia wrote, she explores her hatred of sports, but her love of her sports writing father and what growing up in that environment was like. Patricia Dawn Robertson, a Saskatchewan writer, independent journalist. She's an essayist. She's a creativity coach, a workshop facilitator. She does it all. And she's joining me this morning. Patricia, thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Evan. It's a pleasure to be here.
I like this book, and I've talked about, I even teased one of the chapters in your book, No One Wants to Sleep with the Sports Writer's Daughter. This is a really interesting read. Tell me a little bit about your growing up with your dad, the great John Robertson.
Well, fortunately for me, I was not born on a Grey Cup weekend. I was born in February.
So you got some attention.
Yeah, my brother Tim was born in Regina in 1964 on a Grey Cup weekend. So my childhood was framed around football schedules, hockey schedules, and baseball schedules.
Right.
And in baseball, when you cover baseball, you're away a lot.
For sure.
There are many, many, many baseball games. Much like the hockey playoffs right now, right?
For sure.
It goes on and on.
What's your earliest memory, Patricia, of your father when it comes to sports journalism?
Being on an airplane between Winnipeg and I believe it was Winnipeg and Regina, actually on a charter plane with the team, with the Blue Bombers, and I imagine that they tossed me around like a football team. True.
You're trying to relive that. You're trying to remember it for sure. How do you think your growing up was shaped, being the daughter of a broadcaster?
I'm very outspoken. You can ask anybody in my small town of Waka. I don't hold back. I grew up with bodyguards in Quebec during the Quiet Revolution when Dad decided to get a petition going for English language rights. So I was aware of the risk of free speech. I was aware that my father had come from nothing. He was a high school dropout, and his stepmother and dad kind of let him loose, and so he was homeless as a young man. So my dad taught me about adversity. All he ever said to me was, "You can do it, honey."
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. And so being around professional athletes, especially pitchers, and following around in the American, market, Dad was around some of the best athletes in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lessons I learned was a pitcher once said to him he avoided negative conversations. If he was at a cocktail party, even if he was paid to be there, and people started to complain, he walked away. And what he'd say to the gathered people, "I'm sorry, I have to pitch tomorrow."
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, so although I don't, I have to admit, I do watch football now because my spouse, Grant Black, has made me
a football watcher. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, avid Saskatchewan, born in Lucky Lake, right, from a farm family from Rosetown, Kindersley area. So I kind of came into Saskatchewan and got my initiation from Grant. And my mother, who knew that I didn't like sport, was on the other end of the phone when she was still alive saying, "I can't believe Grant has you watching football."
So do you think, Patricia, that you didn't
really
like sports because of how submersed your life was in them at an early age?
Oh, my God. TSN, okay, when it first came on. Do you remember when they used to do the Australian rules rugby?
Of course.
I don't know if you're old enough.
Yes.
Well, my brother loved that. So the channel changer was basically just stuck on sport. I never watched a Saturday night movie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, look, there's a Robert Redford movie on. No, there's not. It's Howie Meeker. Hockey Night in Canada.
We're watching Hockey Night in Canada.
And my brother was a varsity athlete. He played with the York Yeomen. He also played under Muzz McPherson in Alberta. He lived over a beer parlor. So Tim played all the time.
Well, I want to talk about your titles of your chapters are amazing. So Rusty Staub swam in my pool. I remember I was a sports card collector as a kid. I can picture my Rusty Staub card. Let's tell that story quickly.
Well, my father was commissioned to do a book on Rusty. So he was covering the Expos at the time, and Rusty had come over from the States and had learned to speak French. So the people of Montreal just adored him.
Mm.
And so I remember when Rusty's agent approached Dad and said, "John, we want you to do a book on Rusty." Okay, so then, of course, Rusty started hanging around the house. And so he would be over, and the kids would line our 6-foot cedar fence as he swam in the pool. And, you know, it was just one of those experiences. My family went to Houston, we went to New Orleans, and we, you know, my dad, we went and got to see the Astrodome with all its gold plumbing in the bathroom. And, you know, I just had this whole experience of being immersed in Rusty Staub's life. And then my mother did all, she was a legal secretary, Betty, did all the transcribing of the book for my dad. So
oh,
she ended
wow.
up catching pneumonia in Montreal. She worked so hard. And she had a phone installed in the upstairs bedroom because my grandmother, Bessie, who had come from Winnipeg ostensibly to look after Mom, went next door with the next-door neighbor and went to all the great shopping outlets in Montreal and left my mom to look after herself. So Rusty Staub took his toll on our family. And then he got traded after the book was published.
Oh, no.
So, my poor father, the book was remaindered, and he had put so much effort into this book.
Yeah.
So we have mixed feelings about Rusty, but, you know, he was in Dad's obituary in the Globe and Mail. Martin Levin got the opportunity to interview him, and he was so excited when he phoned me and I gave him Rusty's direct line.
Oh, that's so awesome.
For a lot of people, Rusty Staub was sort of the quintessential baseball player. He was such a power hitter, and he was a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah.
I mean, when we went down to spring training in the wintertime, he would come and visit us in Singer Island at the motel that we stayed at. He'd swim in the pool with us. He'd romp around because he was single and he was a young guy. And my mom would put the burgers on. So I did have an unusual childhood that way. And that, you know, but I then would come back from, you know, being away for spring training in the spring, and my friend would have a new friend.
We're chatting today with Patricia Dawn Robertson, who is a Saskatchewan writer, has written a book called Media Brat, a Gen X memoir, basically writing about her growing up years with her dad, John Robertson, who is a well-known TV radio broadcaster, sports writer, did a lot of baseball work, but covered a lot of sports. So, of course, the chapter, No One Wants to Sleep with the Sports Writer's Daughter. I had to flip to page 194 to see what that's all about. Damaso Garcia, tell us the story, Patricia.
Well, we were staying in a two-bedroom condo. The Toronto Sun was paying the bill. George Gross was the sports writer then, and Doug Creighton, who started the paper, was, you know, publisher owner. But they decided that year, we're going to go cheap. We're going to put Robbie and Stan B. Hall, the photographer, in the same unit. But they didn't realize Stan's girlfriend Pauline was coming. My mother, Betty, was coming. Patty was along for the freeload as well. And so there's like all these adults in this tiny condo. And my father's on the phone to George Gross, shouting at him, because George has carved up his lead again, or he wants, I think they wanted Stan B. Hall to get pictures of the players chasing Sunshine Girls. And my father just went crazy. So Pauline says to me one night, let's go out to the bar, get away from your parents, and, you know, because I'm sleeping on the pull-out couch, right, in this condo. And so we go out to the bar. Well, of course, Pauline knows where all the players converge, and this is somewhere my father would never have permitted me to go. So I thought, perfect, I'm going to go hang out with the players. Well, sure enough, the players get wind of who I am, and that's it. I, you know, and there was one young kid I was quite mean to, actually. He was a rookie, and he was trying out with the team, and he was hitting on me, and, oh, I'm blah, 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 I'm trying out with the Blue Jays. I said, yeah, I saw you pitch today. Keep moving. So I was not.
See, you do have a little bit of your dad in you. You can be a sports critic. Yeah.
That's... Oh, and I can watch games with Grant. Like, I can watch football, and I can say they've got some momentum. He'll just look at me. It's osmosis.
So what do you think your dad would have thought? I know we lost your dad, and I say we because I think so many of us, you got to know him as a sportscaster, as a broadcaster, but we lost him in 2014. What do you think he would think of this book?
Well, he told me, write whatever you want. I don't care, because he wrote about me.
Oh, did he?
When I was growing up. Oh, sure, we were fair game, especially when he did a city column in Montreal. And we were dragged around everywhere. I was relocated 14 times. So I sort of figured this is the stories about my dad are my real inheritance. Because my dad did not believe in accumulation, obviously, that he did the Rider Pride thing and, you know, accumulated $2,200 on our family visa. So he studied with Jesuits in high school before he was kicked out. So he was taught to serve and love service, but he liked to break the rules. So he was supposed to be a priest. He's the youngest of the Catholic family. So his lessons were always, be yourself, you can do it. He did say to me, write whatever you want, but he didn't want me to write things that he had kept as secrets.
Right.
Like, there's certain facts about Rusty Staub that, you know, he phoned me back and nearly hung up on me. And I said, okay, it's not going to go in the book.
Right.
My mother, on the other hand, very conscious. She's English extraction and from United Empire Loyalists. And her whole thing was, don't embarrass mother.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom would have been less happy with the book, but she's very funny. I think she's like sort of the character that's like the most underrated. And she, you know, when I started answering, when I placed a personal ad in the, I don't know if you've read this one yet, but I placed a personal ad in the Toronto Star where my dad was a writer, and a big thing of mail came to the door. And my mom thought it was fan letters, and it turned out it was like aging gentlemen responding to my ad.
Oh my gosh.
My mother's response was, we are going to find your head in a dumpster.
I see. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
My family never lined up at Disney World. That's a chapter.
Yeah.
Frozen turkeys,
yeah.
Corduroy knickers, and Tia Maria in the snow tires. I mean, these cause you to want to read these chapters. It's very well written, Patricia.
Thank you, Evan. I worked on it for a long time, and I will have to give credit to the Saskatchewan Arts Board because they did give me a creator's grant, a production grant, so that I could spend a few months on it, and then the transmission went on our Volvo. And the, you know, one of my mentors said, you know, don't spend the money, use it for writing, and then we live in a small town, and my car has to run, so
right.
the grant was a bit short-lived, and I have to give full credit to my spouse, to David Grant Bach, because he's edited all my work, he encourages me.
He's a great writer, a great writer himself, I know.
He is,
yeah.
Of his own accord.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's a rare man, I think, that will get behind somebody the way that he does for me. Because I think sometimes women still encounter a few obstacles when they're trying to be big. And if you've got a big personality and you're a strong person and you come from the lineage that I do, I'm a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a lot to take on. So
well,
Grant gets full credit.
He took you on.
And my dad, too.
We've only got a short little bit of time left. Just a couple of things. We want to give people an idea where they can get the book in a second. But who do you think the audience is of this? Clearly, I am, because I like sports, and I definitely like baseball in the 70s and 80s, and so some of the stories in here are outstanding. But who do you consider to be the target of your audience for this book?
Anyone with a sense of humor. And people that are craving a sense, like just a summer read, something a bit lighter. Like, there's no trauma in this memoir whatsoever. It's about... because my family had their share of challenges, but I decided to take the material and have fun with it because that's what Dad always did. So I think it's about, you know, if you are looking, want a family story about a woman's relationship with her family, and now that my mom and dad are gone, that relationship just redoubles, right, in your brain. So if you're interested in family stories, if you're interested in memoir, but it's not the kind of thing where people are going to feel sad at the end of every chapter. It's meant to uplift, and I wrote it when my dad got diagnosed with dementia.
Mm.
So I decided to keep my job was going to be the keeper of the stories.
Right.
You know? And so this is my because my dad never wrote a memoir because he had stroke and stopped writing in 1989 from when he ended his career at the Toronto Star when he was covering the Blue Jays, but he couldn't write anymore. So he took a disability pension and he and my mom moved to the Interlake in Manitoba, and he spent the next 25 years volunteering and getting involved with this community. He also had founded the Manitoba Marathon as well, so he went and handed out medals. But he had this big life, and I wanted to document it, but I wanted to do it from my point of view.
Sure.
Because I thought that. So if someone who likes sport, and if you have a sense of humor, and if you remember my dad, and if you remember, I mean, he coined the term rider pride, and I don't even get tickets.
Well, the book is
a bit?
It's a great honor for your dad, and it's a great read. So where can we get it? I know you're actually selling it yourself online, correct? Meatdrawbooks.com, and that's M-E-A-T, meatdrawbooks.com.
Exactly. Like the old meat draws that they have at the Legion. So everybody that buys a copy gets a chance at a cooler full of meat.
Really? Like you get your name in a draw?
You get your name in a draw because, you know, times are tough out there in the prairies and
groceries
are expensive.
I love
and, you know, I just, it's a legacy for me. It's a legacy book. I'm doing a follow-up book called Media Brat Goes West about when I moved to Calgary from Winnipeg. And so that'll be the follow-up book to this. But this is really just a love letter to my dad and to my brother Tim and my mom Betty because I had a great, great life. Evan, I had a life of privilege. I'm a total Karen on every level.
And you recognize it, so that's half the battle.
Well, and, you know, the one thing about moving to Saskatchewan, I have to say, it's so humbling. Because you are just the same as everybody else.
Yeah. That's what I love about this province, Patricia.
Exactly. Yeah. So keeps me grounded, because when I start getting a little carried away with just how fabulous I am, I just have to go to the post office and I'll get,
reminded.
Fully grounded.
Well, we've run out of time, Patricia, but thank you so much for joining the show today, and good luck with the next book.
Yes, and you know what? I will send you another copy when that's out. And this has been my favorite interview. Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you on the show. Patricia Dawn Robertson, the book is called Media Brat, a Gen X memoir. It's a great read. MeatDrawBooks.com, M-E-A-T, MeatDrawBooks.com is where you can get it. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.